He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson. 25 years behind the mic and 25 years behind the stock charts and the strategy that's called the Best Stocks Now. What a start to the market here so far today. I told you not to worry. Back, what was that, Barry? April the 8th when we called the bottom 13 days ago.
April 6th.
The Dow is up 300. That's it. I told you April 6th is a good day. The Dow is up 352 points right now. The NASDAQ is up 90 points right now. The S&P 500 is up 23 points right now. In addition to this, oil is down a little bit. The 10-year is steady. Even crypto is up a little bit. And as a firm, Barry, what are we hitting today? Can you say it, those three words?
All-time high?
All-time high. I'll say it. We are hitting a new all-time high as a firm, this firm that I started back in 2006. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. What is driving the market today? Well, you know, I guess there's some calm coming to the Middle East. Can that be possible? Is it possible? Well, you know, it's Trump. Trump knows what to say. Am I mistaken about that, Barry? Trump knows what to say about the markets.
Yeah, I mean, one of the more interesting quotes I've heard from around about the market and from him in the last few, you know, probably over the last month was he said if I want it to go up, I can make it go up, and if he finished with and I want it to go up. So I mean, it's that tells you what you need to know.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He knows what to say. And, you know, the last president we had, Biden, he had really no clue about the markets. And he could have soothed it many times. And it just wasn't something that, you know, he was interested in. It wasn't his deal. And, you know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of money in the markets and a lot of businesses and a lot of sectors of the economy really depend on the markets, and it helps whether you like Trump or not. It helps if the leader in the White House can calm the markets from time to time and boost them and give them confidence. In addition to Trump, you've also had Scott Bessent, who's also been a wonderful guy. I never remember Janet Yellen calming the markets, whereas Bessent has. So hey, it is what it is. We had the Dow, everything was down a little bit yesterday. We had a pretty good day. We were up yesterday. We hit a new all-time high yesterday. But the market did end down yesterday. What is driving the market today? Hopes of a peace deal between the U.S. and Iran rise. Now, Barry, I've been following the Iran story ever since the Shah was taken down. I was probably in high school at that time, so it was a while back, and we had the whole Iran-Contra affair with Oliver North, we had Jimmy Carter, and we had the hostages, we had Ronald Reagan. This has been quite a saga. We had the oil
embargoes. Didn't Ross Perot get involved?
I think. Well, yes, I think he did go over there and try to free the hostages. He was running for president at the time. The Ayatollah is gone. You know, he was around when all this was happening in the 70s. So it's been quite a saga, and it's hard to really think of a country that has wreaked more havoc in the world and just terror and evil than the leaders of Iran. So, you know, the saga continues, and who knows, maybe we end up with a regime there that will be kinder to the people and give the people a voice and their freedom back. Well, now we've got mundane things like retail sales jump more than expected in March. Okay, how about that, Barry? People are shopping.
Yeah,
they're not at home watching the Strait of Hormuz, are they?
Well, and that most important, on that retail sales, you've got the control group, which strips out gas prices, and spending came significantly ahead of what was projected. So, goes to show you, we've heard about these tax refunds, we've talked about them, more money in folks' pocket. Yes, some has gone towards gas, but it looks like some of the other dollars are making it towards other things as well. So.
Yes. They're spending because retail sales climbed 1.7%, topping the 1.4% estimate. Core retail sales, excluding motor vehicles and vehicle parts. You know, in our neighborhood, I don't know. Clements Ferry Road is just exploding with new businesses and new homes. And they've been building this building. I go, oh, there's something new coming in. It's an auto zone. Oh, can't we? Retail says, yeah, I mean, I got a J.P. Morgan now on my corner and an auto zone on my way to the airport, but it is what it is. Other categories experiencing strong year-over-year growth, miscellaneous store retailers. You've been shopping for anything miscellaneous lately there, Barry? Clothing
like
and accessories.
I get
now, yes, clothing and accessories. I've seen a little bit of that around. Electronics and appliance stores up 5.2%. Sporting goods, hobbies, musical instruments, and bookstores up 3.8%. Well, I continue to add a little piece for my railroad layout from time to time that I'm building in my spare time. So I'm part of that hobby group. Segments exhibiting weaker sales, motor vehicles and parts. Well, yeah, with gas prices what they are. And furniture and home furnishing stores. And, of course, they're hurting because interest rates are too high. People aren't moving up. People aren't moving down. People aren't remodeling. They're staying where they're at. It's just kind of a bad thing right now. The shocking news really came after the market closed yesterday with Tim Cook announcing his retirement on September 1st at Apple. He will be 65 years old, and he has named John Ternus as its next CEO. So I always look and see how the stock is reacting. And it's not real happy with, who he's named. The stock right now is down 2.44% on that news. I would just say that Cook has been a very good caretaker, you know, after the death of Steve Jobs, who was really the genius, the creative genius that drove the phenomenal growth at Apple. But as I look at Apple today, it seems to me like they've missed a lot of opportunities. They really are nowhere at all in the whole AI thing, whereas other long-time companies that have been around for a long time, like Dell and like Western Digital and Seagate, they're major players in this whole AI revolution. And Apple did not seem to get the vision of the AI story. In fact, who are they using? Are they using Gemini 3 for their AI and Siri, et cetera?
Right. I mean, and even their search, I mean, they're still, you know, they use Google for search on the phone there. And you know, I heard a joke, I think, this morning about, you know, essentially they've put all this money and done other things, and they're like, how is Siri still so bad? I mean, I hear my middle kid will ask Siri about some kind of sports play or, you know, what's the score of you know, some game, right? And, I hate to say it, it never comes back right. It's like, you know, they never answer the question that you're asking.
That's not
it's a simple
good.
Score. And it's like, ask ChatGPT. It'll tell you the score. It'll tell you what he thinks the outcome is going to be.
Ridiculous. I'm going to give him a shirt. Bill was right again. He can ask me, too, and get the right answer. But really, Siri doesn't come out. I mean, I remember one time I was following the Apple Map directions to get out to this little horse farm in the middle of in Central California where they were the group that we were in had just bought a new racehorse, and I said, I'm in this area. I'm going to stop in and see it. Give them a carrot or something. The map, and I ended up in the middle of nowhere. It's amazing I ever made it out of that hole that I was in from Apple Maps. So, yes, I know what you're talking about. All right, well, we've got earnings to talk about today. We've got situation in Iran, which has been quite the roller coaster. But you know what? The bottom line is oil is $85.50 right now. It's come down from, what, $115? That's $30 per barrel. And, you know, you had all these pundits saying, oh, it's going to $200. It's going to $250. It's going to kill the economy. And what's been happening instead? More on that when we come back. You're listening to the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Let's see, other things that are happening. I want to go back to Tim Cook just for a bit. Apple has named John Ternus as its next CEO, succeeding Tim Cook. Ternus is a longtime Apple executive and current head of hardware engineering. That doesn't sound like something real creative, Barry, but
doesn't sound very AI-driven, right? I mean, obviously you got the infrastructure piece, but in my head, the AI piece is more of a software, right, than a hardware. But I guess when you look at it, at least some of the biggest successes for Apple have been hardware, whether it's the phone, the watch, the Mac, the iPad, but, to me, it doesn't seem like a device is the next kind of big thing, right, for Apple. To me, it seems like it needs to be in the software space. I don't know.
They need something new that totally built around AI, in my opinion. That became, they became a $1 trillion company in 2018. They crossed $2 trillion in 2020. And $3 trillion in 2022, and now they have a market value of roughly $4.1 trillion. So you can't really sneeze at that. But I don't see the innovation. I mean, they're living off of a little tweak to the iPhone once a year, and I think they definitely need more than that. Now, President Trump praises Tim Cook's leadership. Says he will continue to do great work for Apple. Following the news that Tim Cook is stepping down, Trump goes on to his social media to say, I've always been a big fan of Tim Cook and likewise Steve Jobs, but if Steve Jobs was not taken from the planet so young and ran the company instead of Tim, the company would have done well, but nowhere as well as it has under Tim. He's a man of words, a guy, Trump. Trump wrote on True Social, for me it began with a phone call from Tim at the beginning of my first term. Well, there's the deal. I mean, if you butter up Trump a little bit, he's going to love you for life.
He gave him that statue. Remember he gave him that recently? He gave him that gold, statue. And it was like a statue, and it had the gorilla. Remember it had the gorilla glass that was what they used for the iPhone screen as the as part of the deal. But yeah, the guy that's coming on. I mean, he's been with the company 25 plus years. So it'll be interesting to see their different styles. Apparently, he's more of a single person decision maker versus, I guess, Tim.
Sometimes you got to be that way.
Otherwise you get paralysis by analysis.
Done. Right. Yeah. I mean, look at the stock picking. How many analysts How many at our table when we vote on whether or not we should buy a stock or not? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
It
exactly.
depends on who the guy behind the trigger is. Attorneys joined Apple in 2001 and spent more than two decades rising through the ranks of the company's product organization. He currently serves as Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering, overseeing development of key products, including the iPhone, the iPad, the Mac, the Apple Watch, and the AirPods. I just don't see anything new. He sounds like he's going to be just another caretaker. As incoming CEO, Ternus will face major challenges, including accelerating Apple's AI intelligence strategy. There's nothing there. I don't see where they have an AI strategy. Managing regulatory scrutiny, especially in Europe, sustaining iPhone demand, and finding the company's next major growth engine beyond smartphones. That's what I've been saying for many, many years, and that's why we don't own Apple stock. There has not been that next major growth engine, which Tim Cook, he seemed to come up with something every year that was a major, major new addition to the company. So, well, it's stable. It's a low risk pick, but I don't feel impressed to go out and buy Apple stock.
Yeah, at best, it's a market perform, right? I mean,
yes.
At best,
it's whatever the S&P 500 does, it'll do about that.
And it's one of these things where I could probably touch, 10 different Apple devices right in my house that either that are still working or have are old. But the thing is, just because it's a product we use every day doesn't mean it's a good stock, right? I mean, we talk about that all the time.
So. Yes. Well, I totally agree with BNP Paribas. Where are they? They're Spanish, aren't they? Or are they Italian? BNP.
Yeah.
It's a major bank out there. And I'm usually in simpatico with BNP Paribas. BNP Paribas is saying that the Middle East inflicted economic damage will be contained due to strong Q2 earnings.
French. Well, French bank.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. French. Yeah, I don't know if I like them that much. No, I'm just kidding. I do like French cheeses and stuff like that. Middle East inflicted economic damage will be contained due to strong Q2 earnings. Well, what am I to tell you? That's exactly what I've been telling you. Not only Q2 earnings, what about Q1? What about Q3? What about Q4? What about all of 2026? What about all of 2027? It's not just this quarter's earnings that are so impressive. It's the earnings going forward from here, which makes it very, very difficult to be bearish despite what is going on in the world today. So it just seems like the ones that are good at the market and are more often right than wrong, they focus on earnings. They focus on earnings and earnings estimates. And I also, I saw somebody, another analyst saying, and it might be BNP Paribas, it might be in this article somewhere. They're saying that, instead of earnings estimates going down during all of this, instead of earnings estimates going down, earnings estimates have gone up. And that's really, as the market has gone down, the estimates have gone up, which created that big gap there about 2 weeks ago between what the market was worth and where the market was trading. That was the widest gap I've seen probably in the last 10 years. One day I saw the market with 28% upside potential over the next 12 months. Now that gap has narrowed considerably. Now we're at about 15% upside potential, which is more in the normal range. But when I saw 28% upside potential, I go, this is as good as it gets. And we've got the articles to prove it, too. I didn't just say, I didn't just say it under my breath. I put my neck on the line on the show, in the newsletter, and on the article. I did submit an article this morning. I've been up since about 5 a.m. I got an article written, finished. My junior analyst is doing a fantastic job of framing the articles up, and then of course I'm the polisher of the diamond in the rough, and submitted it to Seeking Alpha, And as soon as it is published, we'll send out a link to the article and a place where you can get a PDF file of it if you're not allowed to open that link. You know, Seeking Alpha's got a lot of rules of how many articles you can open per week, which makes it a little bit difficult. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we need to talk about Minnesota a little. Barry, have you talked? Do we have something lined up yet? I haven't heard. I've been so busy.
I know she's doing 3 days. Like I said, I think we're still nailing down the actual location. But
you got
those dates? The dates, I've got them. They are, okay, it's going to be Tuesday, May 19th.
Yes.
Wednesday the 20th and Thursday the 21st. So,
do we have a city?
Yeah, yeah. Minneapolis. I don't know which town. I know we're doing it somewhere different, as you mentioned, from the Mall of America. So I haven't heard anything in terms of what actual city we'll be staying in.
Well, if we're doing 3 days, that means that the demand for our time and those 1 hour meetings is running very high. Because, 3 days, we do 10 appointments a day. That's 30 appointments.
30,
so
30 face-to-face.
If you want to grab an appointment.
Plus your workshop. Plus you're doing a workshop.
Yeah, I'm doing a workshop Tuesday night. No rest for the wicked. And 3 radio shows and managing money. But good thing I like what I do. It's a good thing I have a passion for what I do. And I love meeting with the people and getting out of Dodge for a while and seeing other parts of America. So, yeah, the workshop sounds like it's going to be full. We did not have an extra seat in Sarasota. Did we have an empty seat? I didn't see one.
Yeah, we had standing room only in the back for us.
And in San Jose, we had standing room only. So if you want to reserve a seat to the workshop and or the a 1 hour appointment with the team, including myself, the junior analyst, Barry, you better call Edie at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. You can also do it on our website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Okay, we're starting to see some earnings now coming in. This is going to be a big week. Before the week is over, this is only Tuesday, we're going to have 123 companies from the S&P 500 that will report their earnings. Now, let's go through some of the big ones here today. Let's start with GE, okay? This is Larry Culp. This is one of the most incredible turnarounds of all time. And last time I looked, GE was down a little bit as they guided a little bit lower. Yeah, that, you know what? That's not a good chart on GE right now. It's piercing below its 200-day moving average. It may be time to move on. You know, the stock has had a tremendous run, and we've owned it in our premier growth portfolio. We like Larry Culp, the CEO, but I don't like the way the stock is behaving at all. Let me take a look at what their growth numbers look like here. You couldn't have a better leader, better CEO at the helm than Larry Culp. Let me get those numbers up here. Let's take a look right there. Okay, well, their earnings were up. You got those numbers, Barry, the quarter?
Yeah, let me
pull
them up.
I'm trying to find them. You know, they changed this website for me on MarketSmith.
In terms of where everything is?
Oh, yeah. Why do they mess with something like that? you, anyways,
your charting software. You said your charting software is getting taken over too. I'm pulling.
Oh god. Well, anyways, the stock is down 4.8%, and the chart's not that good. It's not that bad, but it's not that good. And I have also noticed over time that good stocks have a way of rebounding, and bad stocks have a way of not rebounding. That's been my experience over the years. And GE has been obviously a superior stock under Culp's leadership. So
yeah, and their adjusted revenue is up 29%. Their total orders were up 87% year over year. So you know, it could be one of these things too, where it's kind of sell the news, if you will, in terms of the quarterly earnings. I think their earnings growth maybe is down 2.2% quarter over quarter. But there's obviously been a good bit of turmoil in the aerospace arena over the last handful of months as well. So.
Well, and they've got a lot of exposure to AI, really empowering AI. I continue to see those big GE Vernova turbines down at the rail yard in Charleston, going out to power turbines. Now,
yeah, and that stock continues to hit. I mean, that stock continues to hit, really all-time highs, I believe.
It's doing a lot better than GE is, which is the aerospace, aerospace.
That's a pretty chart in GEV, by the way.
Yes, very pretty. Okay, now, we own them both, so let's take a look here at the performance, and let's take a look at the valuation here on GE, okay? GE over the last 10 years has delivered to investors 8.7. But that does not include Larry Culp's tenure. Larry Culp comes along, and over the last 5 years, GE has averaged 36% per year, while the market's been 14. That's a phenomenal performance. Over the last 3 years, GE has averaged 59% per year, while the market's averaged 24. And over the last 12 months, GE has averaged 68%. Not average, it is 68% versus 34.6. Now, it's been stumbling around for the last 3 months. So, really, the most important thing here is going to be the current valuation on GE. I see the stock currently trading around 300 and a five-year target price of 557. And I'm using 15% growth rate. Maybe I'm a little too high on that. That's why I can't find their quarter here since they've changed this stupid website. But I think that's going to be the key. And in fact, I'm going to look here real fast what the consensus 5-year growth rate is and see if I'm off. I'm using 15% per year over the next 5 years. That's really critical because that's a big piece of that valuation, okay? Very big piece of that valuation. And at 15%, the stock looks pretty good, okay? But if you knock it down to 9 or 10%, then the stock doesn't look very good. So I'll have the consensus up here for you in just a moment. GE's consensus. 5-year growth rate, according to the analysts. Now, I just go with the analyst consensus because they're more dialed in to the company than I am. Yeah, you know what? It has gone down recently. I'm too high at 15. I'm seeing 11. That's what's happened at GE. The 5-year growth rate has been going down since the last time I looked, which probably 6 months ago or something like that.
Yeah,
the consensus now is 11%, and I've been using 15%. That does really narrow that upside potential in GE. It may be time to move on.
Well, and you got, to 2026 is supposed to be up a little over 17%, 2027 about 15.5%, 2028 14.5%. So As you get down in those, you know, potentially those years, right, that are 2030, you got a tougher beat, right? Each time you're growing those earnings.
Yeah. Well, the stock is breaking its 200-day moving average right now, but it is also coming down to its long-term support level at just around 280. So I'm going to watch the way it behaves. I'm going to, sharpen my pencil a little bit on that 5-year growth rate and see if I need to tweak it a little bit. And a lot of it's going to be based on, the guidance that they gave, which I haven't had time. I mean, they just reported this morning. So that all is in play as I reassess the stock. The chart, the performance is what it is. It's not going to change. And the valuation may be subject to a revision downwards. And that will be quite telling in my current evaluation of the stock. Okay, the next one we'll take a look at here that has also reported today is 3M. Let's see if it, United Healthcare. That's
United Health, actually. We bash it enough that they had a good report, and they were up 9% before we started the show. I don't know what they're doing now.
Well, that's really lifting the Dow, because United Healthcare is still in the Dow. United is up $29 per share. It's up 9%. So that's the best quarter that United Healthcare has had in a long, long time. I still wouldn't be a big fan of the stock. It's had some real, real issues here recently. But it is having a big day, and it is the main driver behind the Dow right now with a 9% gain. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, I figured it out, Barry, how to find the stats that I need. You know, there's an interesting dichotomy here. GE reported this quarter their sales were up 29% year over year. That's phenomenal. And their earnings were up 25% year over year. That's phenomenal. Right. And yet the stock is down 5%. Okay, now put those numbers in your head for a minute. Now we go over to the United Healthcare numbers. United Healthcare sales were up 2% year over year, and their earnings were up 0%. So you've got one that's 25 and 29, and the stock is down, and the other one is 0 and 2, and the stock is up 8%. Well, you know what the difference is. It's all about the guidance going forward. And that is in lockstep with what I teach, that stocks not only follow earnings, but they follow earnings estimates. And obviously one has guided a little bit lower, and United Healthcare has guided a little bit higher or beat the estimates that were out there on the street. To me, it looks like a buying opportunity in GE. I can't tell you that right now. I've got to do a little bit more work on that 5-year growth rate. But having reported this quarter that they just did, that's pretty solid. So I will keep you posted on that. Just funny how that works, those quarters. And, you know, when I teach my workshop, I don't know that I went into the CanSlim so much in Sarasota as I have before, but I remember going into it quite heavily in San Jose, in Santa Clara, the CanSlim method that was invented by William O'Neill, the West Coast offense, I suppose you could say, on the stock market.
Right? Yeah, IBD.
Yes, and I'm a West Coast guy. I'm a Don Coryell, Bill Walsh, throw the ball down the field kind of guy, and I would say in the stock market, William O'Neill was definitely of that ilk, because he liked high growth stocks, throwing the ball down the field, going for touchdowns. He didn't like ground chuck, handing the ball up the middle, Groundchuck was a coach with the L.A. Rams, and he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he was known for, you know, handing the ball 2 yards in a pile of dust.
Chuck Knoll, right?
Chuck Knox.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and they called him Groundchuck. You know, look, that's what AT&T is. That's what United Healthcare is, blah, blah, blah. So I admire William O'Neill a lot. And the C in Can Slim stood for current earnings. The A was annual earnings. So what's the difference? Well, the annual earnings are year over year. The current earnings are quarter over quarter. And you want both of those to be strong. You want strong quarters like I just said with GE, 25% growth in sales, 29% growth in earnings. And you want good annual earnings. That's where I don't have the numbers up for the annual earnings estimates for GE. I got to find where they put that now in this new and improved software over there at MarketSmith that William O'Neill invented. Dow Jones buys it, which is kind of a ground chuck type operation. They buy it from Air Coryell. and now it's very hard to find stuff. But
yeah,
earnings once I find that.
746 in 2026.
Yeah, but you know, you got to look.
863 in 2077.
You know how I put on the wall, going back for three or 4 years, the
right.
earnings and how they've grown since then? That's what I need to see. That's the critical part that I'm missing here. And I mean, while I'm live here on the air, I can't find that stupid information, which is ridiculous that they've made this so difficult.
Yeah, 2021, they had $2.12.
Yeah, but how much growth was that versus the previous year? That's the key.
I'm just looking at the earnings, not the percentage changes.
It's that percentage. You want to see 15, 18, 20, 18, 20. Then you can pretty much say, well, you know, 15 is a pretty good estimate. But, you know, the street right now is saying 11.8. That's quite a ways down. And that would affect, over a five-year period of time, that would affect the five-year target price by quite a bit.
Pretty significantly,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I got to do some work on this as soon as the show's over. Okay, 3M, Minneapolis company. You know, there's another one. That's Groundchuck. That's soggy, soggy, soggy. That's a 2-3% grower. Their quarter comes in. Their sales up 3%. Their earnings up 14. That's a pretty good earnings report. 14 for this giant company out of Minnesota. But, you know, all in all, this is a sideways stock for a long, long time. Very inconsistent, little growth. Not a lot of innovation anymore. When's the last time you used a stick-it note? Yeah, it's been a while. But they have other products.
I think I've used one in the last month.
with all of this pop-up on your iPhone now, you're not sticking notes all over your refrigerator anymore. So, you know, I'm not a fan of 3M. The stock is down a little bit here this morning. Then the other one that's reported here today, you know, it was a good growth story at one time, Tractor Supply. But those days are long, long gone. Now it's a dud. And it's, in fact, I might have had Tractor Supply in my book, but that was 15 years ago. Okay. It's not the same stock. It's not sweeping America with new stores opening every few weeks like it was at one time. It was a fantastic growth stock. And, you know, that goes to show you the cyclicality of stocks and companies where they go through those huge growth phases, and then all of a sudden they saturate America, and there's nowhere else to put a Starbucks or a McDonald's or whatnot, and you become a 2-4% grower. Home Depot, good example. Lowe's, good example. Tractor Supply, good example. You want to find the ones that are just starting to sweep America and disrupt their competition. All right, well, we are out of time. I'm going to have a fun day. I looked at a lot of charts yesterday. I worked really, really hard for about 4 hours with my doors closed and just focused in. And I did some buy-in yesterday. And I'm going to do the same thing today, look very hard. I'm more in a buying mood than a selling mood unless there's something that's not performing. To get a 4-week trial to the newsletter, the app, and the live alerts, that's the most generous offer in the entire market by anybody. GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to talk to us. if you're looking at your portfolio and you've got GM and 3M and Tractor Supply and AT&T and Home Depot and Lowe's, I'm sorry, they're not growing anymore, and it takes growth to drive stocks higher. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.